Second week, week two, the story of building a nation. And today in here, in your stories, it talked about the whole, you know, Genesis chapter 12 through about 35 or so. Today, I'm really just going to focus on Abraham, you know, just a few chapters, like, you know, 13 or so or something. You know, it's just, so we're going to be diving into a lot here. And with this being the story, I thought it'd be nice to kind of have a nice comic book kind of run through it. And so we're gonna look at the story of Abraham. And I know that you guys love my artistic ability. And we're talking today about how God builds and blesses so that we can build and bless others. So I'm going to bless you with some amazing stick figures. Okay, so starting in chapter what? 12. Okay, this is where it gets started for Abraham. And what happens here, I'm going to draw the picture and then I'll read you a little something. I'm only going to have like one piece of scripture up on the screen so that as I'm reading, you'll be able to take a look at some of the things there. So we got Abraham. Oh, I need to divide out a little section here. So we got Abraham here. And we know it's Abraham because he's got a beard. Awesome. Okay. And he gets visited by God. God's always a dotted line for me on that. So the Lord said to Abram, and at this time, sorry, I called him Abraham. I need to be careful. During this part of the story, his name is Abram. So the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will build you. In essence, I will build you. I will build you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. All right, say, God builds and blesses. Turn to a neighbor. God builds and blesses. You got to take that out of here today. That's the core of the message today. God builds and blesses. And we're going to look at how he does this in Abraham's life. And it starts at the very beginning here in chapter 12. He says, I build and I bless. Watch me. Watch me as I do this. But Abraham had to do something first. He had to leave. He had to leave the country he was living in. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so some of these side stories we're going to hit, I'll try and hit them quick, but I want to give you guys a big version of it. In the story that you're reading, they leave out a lot, and that's okay because we're wanting to get a brief overview. So you get that, you get an idea of the idea of it, you get an appetizer, and then my goal in here on a Sunday morning, and then in Sunday schools, kind of dish up a little more of the main course, okay? So, just to finish up chapter 12, we have a section here that I'm going to call Sister Part 1. It's unfortunate that it has to be Part 1, and you'll find out why if you don't know already. So here's Sarah, distinguished by her amazing hair, and then Abraham, who has Abram, thank you. Sarai, and Abram, thanks for correcting me. So, and because he's old, he's already old at this time. He's like 75 years old when this all starts. And so, sister part one takes place because they travel to where God wants them, but then there's a famine in the land. They go down to Egypt, and while they're in Egypt, before they get there, Abram tells Sarai, tell them you're my sister. Actually, I forgot one part, a very important part of the art here. Wink. Tell them you're my sister. Okay? So, he's got a dimple there. And so, because she must have really been a hottie. She must have really been good looking because he was so worried that if they walked in the place, then they would kill him to take her as their wife. So just say that I'm your brother and you're my sister, which we find out later in Genesis is kind of a half-truth. She's kind of his half-sister, and that gets a little weird, but we're going to try and focus for me and for you and so that we're not in here till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they go down to Egypt and they say that she's his sister. Pharaoh takes her in as his wife. I guess she was good looking. He wanted to take her for his own. And then disease happens and it's just all bad. And he finds out that they're married and he says, you're out of here, get out of here. So that's sister part one. Very simple. And that's chapter 12. So we move on to chapter 13. And Lot is Abram's nephew. And Lot's tagging along with him. And so we get to a place where they've both grown. Lot's group has grown and Abram's group has grown. And they've got all sorts of cattle and all sorts of sheep and different things going on there. And it got to where Abram's sheep, herdsmen were arguing and quarreling with Lot's herdsmen. And because the land, they couldn't just share the land they were on. They were just getting too big for that. And so Abram, I'll be able to switch here. So Abram says, hey, you know what? We got all this land God's given us. You take whatever you want. And we get a chance to see a little bit of Abram's heart here. He says, you take whichever way you want to go. And so we're going to illustrate this with a map. Woo-hoo. And we know it's a map because it says map on it. And here's a little bit of the promised land. I'm not sure exactly where they were, but Lot heads east, and the reason he heads east is because he looks at the land and he says, oh, this is well watered. It looks like Egypt. It looks like this is going to be the better of the two places to go, so I'll go east. So Abram went west. And so that's what happens. That's basically all of chapter 13. Chapter 14, and I'm sharing these because we get the chance to see his heart. So chapter 14, this interesting, here I need all my fingers for this one. In chapter 14, we see, and I'm not going to name all the kings, we see a group of five kings. They're at war with a group of four kings. Okay, the group of four kings kind of beats up on the group of five kings, or at least one of the five kings. And that happens to be the king of a city named Sodom. Some of you guys are like, I've heard of Sodom somewhere. We're going to hear about Sodom a little more later. But Sodom is where Lot settled in. He did not use, you know, Google or, you know, to find the safe neighborhoods. You know, where's the good place to live? You know, when we moved here, we wanted to find out, all right, where's the good places to live? Obviously, Lot didn't check that out. Now, Sodom was not a good place to live, but that's where he settled. That's where he lived. And so this group of four kings, they overpowered some of the five kings. They ended up plundering some of their stuff. And along with that, they took Lot as prisoner. Abram finds out about this. And I want you to think, four kings from four different cities against five kings from five different cities. Keep this in mind, because this is all part of building and blessing. And right here is a part of, I want to bring that up too, with the Abram saying, hey, you can go take this. He builds and blesses others. You know, when we are built and blessed ourselves, that should be what happens. We build and bless others. Here's another place where he builds and blesses Lot, at least. Maybe not the other one. So Abram put his angry face on, oh, with the intimidating beard. He gets 318 of his own guys together, one army, one guy, and they head out and they take over. They take on the four kings that couldn't be beat by the five kings, and he beats them all, built and blessed. Isn't that awesome? He recovers all the stuff, especially, you know, Lot, his family member, and you don't mess with Abram. And so that's what happens. They bring him back and they get settled back in. So that's 14, 15. So 12, 15, 17 are major chapters in Genesis when it comes to the covenant. We see the covenant unfold a little bit. So if you can kind of remember that, if you want to make note of that in your bulletins, 12, 15, and 17. So once you get to know them, it's kind of a... So 15, here's what happens in 15. We have God visits Abram again. And we have Abram over here. Whoa. All right. Because what's happening here, and before I finish illustrating, I'll go on and read this section to you here. So God had told Abram that I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'm going to build you. And at this point, Abram says to God, Sovereign Lord, how can you build me? He says, what can you give me since I remain childless? I'm supposed to be a great nation, but I don't have any kids and I'm getting old. older than he was to begin with. And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. So he took him outside and he said, look up at the heavens. Look at that sky, clear. Little ones, big ones that are closer, and you got other ones that are so far away, they're just dots in the sky. And he says, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. I will build, I will bless, watch me. Abraham believed. Abram believed the Lord. It's even right here in front of me. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. So, first part of it, just leave. Go to the land I want to show you. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to build you. I'm going to bless you. Now we're starting to see a little more of it unfold. He says, well, how am I going to be built and blessed? You don't have anything to build on. You don't have anything to bless. It's just me and Sarai. And he says, come on outside. Look at the stars. Count them if you can, because that's what your offspring. That's how big I'm going to, that's how great. We just sung, how great is our God. That's how great I'm going to make you. That's how much I'm going to build you. That's how much I'm going to bless you. And so we have this unfolding. So then we go to chapter 16. In chapter 16, Sarai decides she's going to take matters into her own hands. She says, well, God said that it would come through you. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to come through me. So I guess we got to help God out a little bit. So Sarai gave Abram her maidservant, whose name was Hagar. And do we have anyone named Hagar in here today? Okay, good. I'm safe to say, don't ever name your kid Hagar. What an awful name. She was set up to be a maidservant. Just a name like that. So Sarai, and so she says, here, have my maidservant. And so Abram sleeps with Hagar. And but then something happens. Hagar's what they call her in the South. My family's here. Some of my roots come out. So we got Sarai with her hands on her hips. And she is bent out of shape. And because what happened was when Hagar got pregnant, then she became indignant, you know, the whole, you know, chicken neck thing going on. And then it was a bad rub there. So then here's Hagar, and she's got her hands on her face because she's crying. It's awful. And here's her baby bump. Stick figure. And, you know, probably some of the problem with the jealousy was that Hagar had this beautiful, naturally curly hair, and she just couldn't handle that. She's pregnant, and she gets the hair. So this happens, and so Sarai goes to Abram and says, hey, we got to do something. All this is your doing. You got her pregnant, and da-da-da, you know, it's just a mess, the little family issues. We've all had, well, nothing like that, I hope, but we all deal with some of the things where we're not the perfect family all the time. And so she says, what am I going to do? And he says, she's your maidservant. Do with her as you please. And so she treats her bad and things go bad. And so Hagar takes off and she's off going to just run away. And so we have her with her awesome, naturally curly hair. And she gets visited by an angel who, in my drawings, angels always tend to look like the Batman. In true comic book style. So she gets visited by an angel, and the angel comforts her and tells her, hey, go on back. God's going to take care of you. She was to name her kid Ishmael, because Ishmael means God hears. God heard her crying. God heard her hurting. And he said, go on back, submit yourself to Sarai, and God's going to take care of you. So that's chapter 16. So now we're on to chapter 17, another major chapter. So 12, 15, and 17. So now we're back to talking about the covenant, and things really heat up here. So, and divide up a little bit here and a little bit here. We got a few things to cover in this one. So in this section, God starts adding more to the covenant and starts adding some things, some changes, and some things that Abram was to do. And one of the things was to help, that's going to help me out the rest of the sermon, is Abram was no longer Abram. What was he? I kind of gave that one away, didn't I? Abraham. Okay, so we got Abraham here. This is a pretty awesome beard. And Sarai became who? Sarah. And her signature due. And so in two separate conversations with one with Abraham now, I can say that, and one with Sarah, God tells them, guys, out of you is going to come kings of men. And so we've got Abraham plus Sarah equals just all sorts of crowns here, just to kind of illustrate one of these fancy ploofy kind of crowns. It looks like a chef's hat. But you guys get the idea. So I'm going to change your name. And this is significant because this is part of the covenant. I'm changing you. What is God doing? He's building and blessing. Good job. Building and blessing. And so, so he shares this with him. And then God tells Abraham, I'm telling you, I'm serious. You're going to have a son. You and Sarah. And Abraham's like, I'm 99 years old. And what does Abraham do? What does he do? Yes, he laughs. So he's holding his belly here. Ha, ha, ha. So he laughs. There's no way this is going to happen. And so in the midst of in God's conversation with Abraham, before he has a conversation with Sarah, before Abraham laughs about this, God shares another part of this covenant, which is, it's kind of rough. And he says that part of this covenant now is that we're going to have this thing called circumcision. What? And God says that every male child that's living in your house, every male child that's been born in your house, every male child that ever lived under the name of Father Abraham will be circumcised on the eighth day. And so anybody, any male in your house, 8 days and older, here's what you do. This is staying with the covenant. And so... And so, so at 99 years old, Abraham is circumcised. Poor guy. And Ishmael, he's 13 by now, and he gets it too, and everybody, all the guys. So yeah, it's just, it's a rough chapter. All right, so chapter 18. Chapter 18. Got three little divisions here for this one. So this is 18. I'm keeping up my numbers. Yes. Okay. So 18. Abraham, I can now say Abraham. He's visited by three men who we find out that two of them are angels and one of them is the angel of the Lord. This is skilled stuff here. I can sign this and give it to you later if you want. So he's visited by three men, and these three men, what they do is they confirm with Abraham. Now I got it flipped over. I'm in trouble. So they confirm with Abraham that you will indeed, you're going to have a son, and in fact, by this time next year, you will have a son when we visit you again. Now, Sarah overhears this, and what does Sarah do? Yep, Sarah laughs too, so she's holding her belly. With her signature hairdo. Just, ha, ha, ha. I forget. Ha, ha, ha. So Sarah laughs. And that'll be significant in a few minutes too. So she laughs. And I think it's really funny. If you go and you read this in chapter 18, And I don't know if it's God. I can't figure out if it's God or if it's Abraham that's talking to her. It's a he. And so I don't know who the pronouns belongs to. But one of them says to Sarah, they said, "You laughed." And she says, "No, I didn't," because she was scared. And I think it's great because in my mind, I hear just a slight pause because then the reply, whoever it is, if it's God or if it's Abraham, "Yes, you did." And it's just like that. And then whoop, on to the next story in chapter 18. So then the angel of the Lord talks to some of the other angels that are there. And they say, "Well, should we share with Abraham what we're going to be doing?" And they said, "Yeah, we probably should." So, you know, so they go on and they share with Abraham. They say, "Hey, we're going to be heading down to Sodom. We've heard that it's rough down there. Cries have been coming out and it's not good. And if it's as bad as what we think it is, then we're going to destroy the city." And so Abraham says, "Oh, wait a minute, what if there are some righteous people in Sodom?" Because you know who's living in Sodom, who? Lot. So he's got some, you know, vested interest there. Hey, you know, I got family. What if there are 50 righteous people in Sodom? Would you spare Sodom for 50 righteous people? God says, "Yeah, sure, I would spare Sodom for 50 righteous people." And I don't know if Abraham kind of thought, you know, Sodom is pretty bad. What if it were 5 less than 50? What if 45, okay, so scratch 50. What if 45 people were righteous in Sodom? Would you spare Sodom for 45? I mean, it's just 5 people, come on. Yes, I would do that, God says. And he says, "Well, what if there are 40 righteous people there?" And well, yeah, I would do that. "What if there are 30 righteous people? What if there were 20? Conversation actually happened. 20 righteous people. Finally gets down to, what if there, and I can just see at this point, Abraham's kind of counting on his hand, you know. Okay, I know Lot, hopefully his wife, he's got 2 daughters, and they've got boyfriends, and maybe there's 4 other, I don't know, but what if there's 10? And God says, "Yes, I will spare the city if there's just 10. We get a chance to see a little bit of Abraham's heart here too. And so they go down to Sodom, and it's a mess down there. These angels, they look like men. They go down to visit Lot, or they go down to visit, they're actually going to go down to this town square, and they're going to spend the night there. And when Lot hears this, he's like, no. "Come into my house, right in this way." And so they're like, no, we got to go, we got to check this place out. And he's like, no, come on in. He convinces them to come in. And all the men, young and old, they hear that these guys are there. And they come out and they're banging on Lot's door because they want to come in and they want to have sex with these men. And so we get a chance to at least see one of the sins that was involved in Sodom and Gomorrah. If not, that was a representation of other ones that were there. I don't know if that was the one, whatever it was, but it's clear that that was a one that was there. And so the angels, okay, so they're trying to get inside. The angels cause blindness to fall on the guys outside so they can't find the door. And they turn to Lot and they say, "You better get out. There are not 10 righteous people in this place. If you have any family, you need to get out." And so they do. They take off and they go to a town close by. And as soon as they get off to safety, chapter 19, then we are told that fire rained down from heaven, sulfur. I'll draw little windows here so you know it's a city. And just burned the place up. We get a chance to see God's wrath and how he will tear things down if they're not built right, if they're not built the way he is building them. "I will build, I will bless, but God will also tear down if it's not being done the way he needs it to be done." And this definitely was not following righteous actions. So 19, 20, you're going to have to go read it again, or read it yourself, sister. Part 2, believe it or not, they go to Abimelech, and they're, because Abraham doesn't want to live where he lives now, probably because of all the stuff that recently happened. And so they head over this way, and it's another wink. Sister, part 2, the same thing. He takes her in, Abimelech takes her in as his wife, and God comes to him in a vision, which is a little bit different than Pharaoh in Egypt. But Same deal. But in this case, he doesn't kick them out. He gives them land there. So they end up settling there with Abimelech. And there's more to that story that we're not going to hit on today. Let me catch myself back up because we got another major chapter here. I've already done all that. Excellent. Okay, so sometime later, I've actually got a scripture reference that I can put on the screen now. We can interrupt some of the drawings. Oh, I didn't do 21. 21 is simple. There's extra stuff in 21, but 21, Isaac is born. So, little arm, holding a baby. Sarah, signature due, Isaac. And, of course, Abraham is in the family picture there. Little family portrait. Chapter 21, Isaac comes in. So, then sometime later. So, I had to get 21 before we get 22 because Isaac needs to be around for 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Watching all this story, and then we get to hear. I mean, we've got, Isaac and Abraham climbing up the mountain here together. And then they get up to the top of the mountain, and I cannot imagine what this would be like. What was going on? I mean, we're told in Hebrews that Abraham had reasoned that God could bring him back from the dead. But he goes up there and he ties his son up, binds him. And he pulls a knife up and he's about to kill him. And God says, "Now I know I can trust you. Now I know you're faithful. Look in the thicket." And there in the thicket was a ram. And God said, "There's your sacrifice. Kill the ram and not your son." And so, 22, we get to see Abraham and Isaac coming back down the mountain. So God tested him. 23, 25, kind of morbid. Anybody guess what happens in 23? Sarah dies. And anyone guess what happens in 25? Abraham dies. In between those chapters, 24, Isaac is a grown man by now. And so, a really, really neat story. And I'm not going to tell it today. I was about to draw Abraham. Put a little goatee on Isaac, because he's kind of like his dad. So, and Isaac and Rebecca get married. And that's going to carry on the line. And Abraham gets to die knowing the line is going to continue on. Now, if you read in your story in the books, you guys kind of got more of the rest of the story that out of Isaac and Rebekah come twins, Jacob and Esau. Jacob steals Esau's firstborn birthright. He steals the blessing of the firstborn. Sneaky little guy. Jacob ends up running away. He meets and marries one daughter of this man of Laban. He marries Leah. Then he marries Rachel. And then out of those women, they're maidservants. So out of four women and Jacob comes 12 men, 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes of Israel. Because back in chapter 32, Jacob wrestles with God and God changes his name to Israel because Israel means wrestles with God. And talking about names, I didn't give you guys a name. Isaac's name means he laughs. So that's where all that comes into play. So that is the story of Abraham. Take your notes out real quick. This is boom, 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 boom reflection. This is not something we're spending a whole lot of time on. I want to give you guys some thoughts. I want to give you the big story. And look, I mean, this is so relatable. You can look, Abraham's got his great moments. I mean, right here, while he's Abram, he's saying, hey, take whatever, I'll just take the leftovers. You know, he goes to war. He's begging for the, you know, that's saving the town. You know, he's way obedient. But then there are other times, you know, the whole sister thing. Come on, you know, and going through with what, you know, Sarah thing, and Sarah's lack of faith, and some of the other things. We see just a whole palette of a man here and of a family and a journey and how God builds and blesses. And this isn't something that looks like a fairy tale or a fable. Every one of us in here can relate to Abraham and Sarah. Their highs, their lows, their times of faith, their times of doubt. There are times of great choices, there are times of mistakes. So as we reflect on that, we take this personally. What is God asking me to leave behind so he can build and bless me? That's how the story started off. God said, go, leave this behind and go to where I'm going to bless you. I'm going to build you. What would have happened if Abraham wouldn't have left? So what in your life are you holding on to? What is God asking you to leave behind so that he can build and bless you? What blessings are you missing out on? What kind of maturity are you missing out on because you're hanging on to something he's asking you to leave behind? And when we are built and we are blessed, looking at these small chapters here, how have God's blessings shaped my attitude to build and bless others? When you're built and you're blessed, the idea is that you want to build others up. You want to bless others. That should be a natural attitude change that happens in people who are built by God and who are blessed by God. So how have God's blessings shaped my attitude to build and bless others? You know, as God builds us, he makes changes in us. Name change for them. That was necessary to signify, I'm changing you. I'm changing you. I'm moving you. Maybe for you it's not a name change, but what is it? What are some changes that God is trying to make in me right now? What are some things? What are some things that God is trying to change in you, change with you right now? Because this was a bridge. This was a bridge to the blessing. This was a bridge to being built. What's he trying to change in you right now? And how's that holding up? The blessings and the maturity that could be happening. And could it be that these changes are to build me in a way that I'm able to hold his next blessing? Could that be? That he's building me to hold his next blessing, that I'm not built enough to handle what God has in store for me next. You know, looking at them laughing. I'm 100 and she's 90. He's 100 and I'm 90. Does my understanding of the natural world cause me to doubt God's ability to bless me in supernatural ways? Because that's you and I. Often, we look at things on a natural level. Oh, God can't do this. What? I mean, that's even what God tells Abraham when Sarah's in there laughing. He's like, doesn't she realize nothing's impossible for me? Sometimes our natural understanding of things, it blocks and it causes us to doubt God's ability to supernaturally build us and supernaturally bless us. Do I trust God enough to endure the changes that hurt? That's a rough story. And yeah, we kind of have a little fun with it with a graphic picture in a comic book layout here, but that's some serious trust and obedience, and yes, I'm willing to follow you and do everything you tell me to do. What changes in your life, what changes is God asking you to do that you know it's going to hurt to go through that change? And maybe that's what's holding you back from going through it, because some changes hurt. But sometimes that needs to happen so that we can be built and blessed? How is God testing my trust and faith in him? Mariah. You know, maybe it's not our situation where God's asking us to sacrifice our own son. But there might be something in your life going on right now. How's God testing my trust and faith in him? What is he asking me to surrender to him? I think that's an ongoing process in my relationship with God. It is. There's always something more to surrender, always something more to lay down, always something that God's ready to ask me to lay on the altar. And then when I finally get that done, then there might be a brief pause, but then there's another test that comes up and he says, "What will you surrender this?" And in light of Abraham and Isaac and this story, just two little scenarios there, you know, is it a blessing that he has given me? Is that what he's wanting me to surrender? That's what Isaac was to Abraham. That was the blessing. Is it something that God has given you and you know this was given to me by God and God's saying, surrender this back to me. Give this back to me. It's hard to give back once you've been blessed. Especially in this, I mean, Abraham just reasoned, I guess he's going to bring him back from the dead because I sure hope he doesn't, you know, I hope this isn't the end of the story. Is it control over a situation? Because, I mean, that certainly would have been an issue there with Abraham and Isaac. He gave up. He surrendered full control. God, you're in control. I truly, truly believe that God seeks to build and bless every one of us. I don't think it's just one story in the Bible. But I think if we can take this story and we can model some things we see out of Abraham and Sarah and their story as it unfolds, that maybe we can ask ourselves some of these questions this week, these personal reflection questions. And my hope and prayer is that from today, that you will open some doors this week, this month, maybe coming into the next year, for God to build and bless you in ways that you never would have expected because you're starting here. Or maybe you're just here because God unveils little by little, little by little. And if we stop the journey, we stop seeing of what he has to reveal to us. And I want to encourage you, keep the journey going. Keep moving forward. God builds, God blesses.